B'siyata d'shmaya, today's daf is daf kuf in the Sefer Shabbos. It's the 162nd daf in Shas. We're going to continue on our discussion in regards to different nuances about akiras, hanachos, and hotzos, different conceptual questions that could be asked, just like the Gemara had asked on daf tzadites. That's going to bring us to a Mishnah that will discuss the halachos of throwing arba amis onto a kosel, and the halachos of a date fig that's stuck against the kosel. Then we're going to talk about what Rabbi Yemin coined tonight before the daf, the boomerang phenomenon, even though he meant it in a slightly different way, when one throws something da'aramos and then it goes in a different direction. And there will be a discussion tomorrow with that. And then we will learn some interesting halachos about the yam not being a rishus harabim, but being a karmel. So, siyata d'shmaya, let's begin. Amar Rava, two lines from the bottom, tzadi tesan base, pshitali. Mayim al gabe mayim hainu hanachasan. If you put water, if you transported water from one rishus and put it onto water in another rishus, or you took water from other waters and you put it down, that would qualify as an akira. In other words, removing water from water is an akira, and it's as well a hanacha. Egos agave mayim. If you have a nut that you put on water, lav hainu hanachasan, then it's not considered as if it's resting. And Rashi says the inverse as well. If you put it down on water, it's not considered as if you put it down to rest. And if you pick it up, you didn't do an akira. You didn't do an akira. Why? What's the svara? Because that's not considered as if it's resting. The walnut is floating along on the water. So therefore, it's not considered enough. In contrast, the water on top of water is considered resting. Vayra. So now Rava continues in the style where the Gemara examines every single conceptual possibility, like it did on Tzadi Tess on the base. Egos bikli, vikli tzaf al gabi mayim. What if you have a walnut that is in a utensil, and the utensil is floating on the water? Mahu. Mi amrinim basar egos is lina and v'hanayif. Do we say that you follow the walnut? The walnut is sitting on top of a kli, and that's the normal way for it to rest. In other words, if I have a cup sitting over here, and I put a walnut inside, everybody would agree that's called a hanacha. Odilma basa klias lina. But in this case, it's not sitting on a table like my cup is sitting over here. It's sitting on the water. So if you look at the kli, the egos is sitting on the water, and we consider it's not nach. So we continue with the teku tishbi itarets kushiyos v'abayis. Similarly, shemen agave yayin. If you have oil that's sitting on top of wine, that is going to get involved with another machlokis and tumah v'tahara of whether we consider that its normal resting place or not. If it's considered its own min, then it's considered its resting place, like we saw water on top of water. But oil on top of wine, machlokis Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'rabbanan. That's machlokis to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'rabbanan. This not. Shemen shetzaf al gabi yayin. If you have oil that is floating on top of wine, v'noga tful yom b'shemen. And a tful yom touches the shemen. Lo pasal el shemen. They're considered two distinct things, and therefore it only will make the tful yom, which can make it pasal. He could only make the shemen pasal. He will not make the yayin that is pasal. Let's take a look at Rashi. He spells out all the details. Rashi says shemen shel truma shetzafa gabi yayin shel truma. Both are of truma, and Rashi then explains why we chose the tful yom in terms of his negiyah. Mishum hachi naka tful yom mishum the posel v'ena metame. A tful yom, if he touches something, makes something posel, but it won't be metame. And therefore, if it's not considered one entity, the shemen and the yayin, hilkach lo posel al shemen bilvad, it would only posel the oil, delav chiberu l'mehavik echad. But if it would have been a tame, then the tame would make the shemen tame, which would then touch something distinct, it would also make that tame. But over here, since it's only being posel, so it passels the shemen, and it doesn't passel the wine, if it's considered two distinct entities. So Tanakhama considers them two distinct entities, and therefore it would be considered as if it's not nach. If the shemen is sitting on top of the yayin, it's not going to be considered as if it's nach. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shneim Chibur Zelazer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says they're considered a chibur to each other. Says Rashi, Tavik Echad v'nisos alayim. Ah, Ulini and Shabbos, not in the Rabbanan, Havile Kegels, Agabi Maim. So then, on regards to Shabbos, according to the Tanakhama, it's considered as if it's a walnut on top of water, and it's not considered as if it's rested. Ulrabi Yochan, Havile Kemaim, Agabi Maim, and that's considered as if it's rested. So that, the Machlokis and Tumah V'Tahara is going to be the same Machlokis for Shabbos as well. Amar Abaye, Bar Birshus HaRama Mukasar Rechava Shmonen. The Gemara is now going back to a previous discussion that we had in Amud Beis, and the Gemara discusses the following instance. If you have a pit that is in Rishus Ram, that's 8 wide. Normally, all you need the pit is to be 4 wide, but the reason why it's 8 wide is because we have this brilliant shaila. V'zarek l'salcha machzeles. And you threw a reed mat that could also serve as a mechitza. So chayiv, then you're chayiv. But chilka b'machzeles, what happens if it divided the rishus into half? Potter. In such a case, you're going to be potter. So, this case, is Rashi points out, is a continuation of what we had learned on Sadi Tesama Beis. On Sadi Tesama Beis, we spoke about what happens if something lands, and at the moment that it lands, it makes it no longer a rishus. What was the case that we had on Sadi Tesama Beis? That if you threw dirt into a bar that was 10 tvachim, but now you made it less than 10 tvachim. So in such a case, are you chayiv or not? On the one hand, at the time that it hit it, it was still a bar yud. On the other hand, now you're making that same thing that's landing not a bar yud. You're making it less than a rishus hayachid. So too over here, when the machzeles lands, it divides the bar, which was 8 tvachim wide, into now no longer having 4 tvachim on either side, because it takes up a little bit of space. So then in such a case, do you say that you view it as if it landed in something that was 8 tvachim and therefore a rishus, or no? You say that it landed in something that wasn't. That's what Rashi spells out in Divar Machzel V'sarik L'Sofa Machzeles. Mishum Seifa Nakat Lo, Deboi L'Memer, Chilka B'Machzeles Potter, La'ashmi'inan, Da'hanochas Chefetz, I'm reading in Rashi, V'siluk Mechitza V'adali Potter, it makes it Potter, V'hocha Siluk Mechitza, D'zil Hocha L'Karba, V'zil Hocha L'Karba, D'Batzela Ove Mokum Machzeles. So do we say that it divides it in half? So says the Gemara, that's connected to the previous Shiloh that we had learned. We had learned le'abaye d'pshitale d'machzeles mevatel mechitza. He says that's pashut, that's mevatel the mechitza, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv. Kol shekein chulya d'mevatel mechitza. So certainly the chulya would be mevatel the mechitza. Why? What's the certainly? Because when you throw the dirt in, there's no greater way of removing ten tvachim than putting dirt in. So if you say the machzeles removes it by simply putting the reed in, certainly the dirt. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't so convinced. Rabbi Yochanan thought if you threw in dirt and when it landed it became less than ten tvachim, maybe you're still going to be chayv. Pshita de lo mevatel mechitzasa, that when it comes to the reed, certainly it's not mevatel, because it's not as much of a bittel of the rishus. The reed is not as strong as the ground that's being put in. So pshita de lo mevatel mechitzasa, and then if Rabbi Yochanan says that you have a shaila by chulya, so then a machzeles is certainly not going to be mevatel mechitzasa, and therefore pata. Ve'amar Abai, and Abai also taught us, bar b'rishus harabim, if you have a bor rishus ram mukasar rachla arba, and it's 4 wide, but it's malaya mayim, it's full of water. V'zorek l'socha chayiv. Then you're chayiv. In other words, the water doesn't take up the airspace. It doesn't make the airspace disappear. It's considered as if you threw it into a bor yud v'dalet. But malaya peros, if it's full of fruits, v'zorek l'socha, you throw inside potter. Why? My time, mayim lo mevatel mechitzasa, peros mevatel mechitzasa. The water is not mevatel mechitza, and the fruit is. Tani nami hachi, hazorek min hayam l'isratia, u'min asratia liyam, if you throw from the sea into a carmelis, isratia is a carmelis, and or isratia liyam is patur. Shimon omer, im yesh melkom shazorek omok, esra asar v'rachav arba chayiv, as long as if you threw from the sea, the an area that's 10 by 4, so then it's considered a Rishus HaYach Lifnei Atzma, and in such a case, you're going to be Chayiv. Yeah. That the Yam is a Karmelis, the Yam in general is a Karmelis, and but if you have an area where the Yam is sitting, the ocean finds an area that's also a pit, so then that pit is considered a Rishus Lifnei Atzma, it's considered a Rishus HaYach.
That's Isratya.
Isratya is going to be the... I'm sorry, I said the Karmelis, thank you. The Isratya is the Rishus HaRavim. You're right. Again, the Yam is the Karmelis, and the Isratya is the Rishus HaRavim. Thank you.
Is Rosh Hashanah arguing with that, or are they just saying two
different cases? No, he's not arguing. He's just supplementing. Yeah, correct. There's interesting Tesis over here. Tesis asks Akasha from the Gemara we learned yesterday, and we're going to see also late, we're going to see shortly... And that is, what we said that Peros is Mevatel the Mechitza. So Tosis asks, is Peros really Mevatel Mechitza? But didn't we learn that when you threw a Devela, so then in such a case, it's not Mevatel. We said that the Devela, since it doesn't stay there, it's considered Batel to the wall. So too, we see that Peros are not Mevatel. See Tosis, Vim Tomer, Umayshem et Vela Shmein Adar Min Ildolo Mevati. So why is it different? Skip a couple lines. V'yesh Lomer says, tells us, D'dveila eina omez kol kachlis batel shon v'koso. K'mo shu'igin levatel peros b'bar. He says, there's a big difference between a dveila. Dveila, it doesn't belong sitting attached to a wall. Peros, sitting in a pit, that belongs in a pit. And their space is chashuv. So when do we say that the dveila is not batel to the wall? That's when you have a dveila that's stuck against the wall. But if you had 100 dvelos in a pit, that's where it belongs. And then it's going to take up space, and it's going to be mevatel that area. But then Tosus asks an interesting question. Right above Erevin, Tosus asks, V'in tomer, heichem emayit hani peros. You're going to say that the peros are memayit. Va'omar reperek chalon, kol dovar anitol b'shabbos. Anything you could take on Shabbos, ain't a memayit. Anything that's not muktza to take away, or is not soser to take away, is not considered something that's memayit from the rishus. Why? Because it's not a real mechitza. If you could take it away, it's not chashuv. So if it's not muktza, and you could take it like you take away fruits, right? And we're not talking about muktza fruits. We're talking about fruits that you wanted there. So Tosa says, so if that's so, so then why is it that the peros take up space? The Omer Ri, so the Ri says, the Minatora might call Dover, Vafilu Anito. No, really Minatora, it's Mamayit everything. Umid Rabbanon who did Gazer, the Dover Hanitel ain't a Mamayit. That was a Dinder Rabbanon, that the Rabbanon where Gazer, that something that's taken is not Mamayit. And that's why we never said anything more than the Dinder Rabbanon. Ulahachilo Kamer Mutter Lizrak Besacha. Minatora, it's not Mavata, but Mid Rabbanon, it's still going to be Aser, just as Potter, never says Mutter, because Tosis points out that once you're able to take these peros out, so then in such a case, then it doesn't create a full mechitza. So that's an important idea to know, that the Gemara wasn't saying that's entirely Mutter. Let's begin a new Mishnah. Hazarik arba amas b'koysel l'mal me'asar t'vachim. If a person throws something for amas, but it lands against the wall, that's the case of the Devela that we learned yesterday, and we saw quoted today in Tosos, that lands above 10 tefachim, kizarek bavir. So it's as if you threw it in the makom patur in your potter. Lamata me'asar tefachim, kizarek baretz. It's as if you threw on the ground, hazarek baretz, arba amas chayiv, and if you throw on the ground four amas, then you're chayiv. Asks the Gemara, v'holo nach, but it didn't rest. Where did it rest? You're throwing a ball against the wall. So the Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yochanan b'tveila shmeino shaninu. That's what we already taught, that we're talking about this sticky fig that sticks against the wall. So then if it sticks against the wall above 10 tefachim, you're potter, below 10 tefachim, you're chayv. Am Rabbi Yudam Amrab Chia, Zarek l'malame asara, you threw above 10, v'holcha v'nacha b'chur kolshu. And it goes and it lands in a small hole. So a small hole is not a sheer dalet al dalet. It's not a sheer dalet al dalet, so then l'chura, you're going to be potter. But the Gemara dreams up a way that you could be chayiv. And the Gemara has a fascinating suggestion. The Gemara's suggestion needs to be seen in a diagram. I'm sure you're familiar with this. It comes up other places in Shas. And you're familiar with this from Hilchos Mezuzah, particularly here in Eretz Yisrael. Banu machlokes remeir v'rabbanon. Remeir and the Rabbanon have a machlokes about the famous archway. Let's say you have an archway that's 10 tvachim, but it's not 4 tvachim wide on the top. But if you start from the bottom and you cut into the arch, you cut it out as if it was a rectangle instead of a half a circle, then it would be 4 tvachim. That's called Choykikin Lahashman. This is a sugya in Yuma on Dav Zayin, and this is a very big shaila here in Eretz Yisrael. If you have archways where at most of the top is less than 4 tvachim wide, but the bottom starts out as less than 4 tvachim wide, is that chayv and mezuzah? The only door that's chayv and mezuzah is going to be 10 tvachim tall. 10 tvachim is easy for us to get, but 4 tvachim wide is not. You don't always have, because the top is usually not 4 tvachim wide. By the way, most of our cases are not a shaila because we're much taller and we're wider. But the shaila that comes up for us is, where do you put the mezuzah? This, because where does the top end? Does the top end where you're chokik lahashlim, or is the top end where it begins to slow? That's how it comes up halacha l'maisa for us. It doesn't come up halacha l'maisa in terms of, because all of our things are 10 tvachim tall and 4 tvachim wide. But the shaila then becomes, it comes l'maisa for us, where you put it. Anyhow, the Gemara was talking about a very small entrance. The Gemara was talking about something that's 10 tvachim tall, but when it reaches the 10 tvachim, it already begun to narrow to less than 4 tvachim because it's an archway. So that's called chaykikin lahashlim. Remeir Amar Chaykikin Lahashlim. Remeir says that we draw that archway, as you see from the diagram, as we chisel out Al Pi Halacha from this archway, where it begins to arch, and we make a cheshbon if it was 4. While the Rabbanan disagree, the Rabbanan hold Ein Chaykikin Lahashlim. So says the Gemara, do you chisel out? Now imagine, instead of its Hilchos Mezuzah, it landed over here. It landed over here. Do you say, well, the halacha already says that you could cut out a bigger area? So since the halacha already says you cut out bigger areas, then it's considered as if it landed in the 4 tvachim. That's Rabban Meir, Amar Chokin Lahashim. Rabban Darmi, Ichok Hashem, Lo Mechayiv. Tani Nami, Hachi Yisorek Lamal Me'asara, if you threw above 10, V'hocha V'nocha B'chur Kolshu, Rabban Meir Mechayiv, V'chachamim Potrin. So this is the idea of Chokin Lahashim. Amar Yudah Marav, Tel. Hamislaket asara mitoch arba. Now this is a fascinating question. How do you decide when something is a wall or whether something is a mountain? In other words, this is a wall, right? You agree there's a wall. What about if this wall is leaning a little? Is that a wall? The answer is yes, that's not a wall. What happens if the wall is leaning a lot? So then that's just a ramp. The ramp becomes part of the Rishus Harabim. When do you decide when something is called a wall, when is it not? So the answer is, Asara Tvachim B'toch Arba. In other words, that when you have, just want to get my measurements correctly. When you have 10 Tvachim, that reaches 10 Tvachim within 4 Amos. In other words, we give you the slope that if it hits 10 tvachim before it's gone up, it's gone a distance of 4 amos, so then in such a case, that's going to be considered a mechitza. So here would be the diagram that you have a tail that's 10 tvachim, and it reaches 10 tvachim within 4 amos, so then in such a case, then it's going to be considered a mechitza. If it doesn't, if it takes more than 4 amos, then it's a mound. It's not considered a mechitza. Amar, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, tell him slaki asar b'toch arba, v'zark v'noch al gabov chayiv. That's considered a separate shus. Tani nami hachi, that's our rule of how to measure whether it's a mountain versus a mechitza. Mavui sheshava l'socho v'nasa medron l'rishus harabim. If you have a mavui that was flattened out and it was made a slope to rishus harabim, o shava l'rishus harabim v'nasa medron l'socho, o sa mavui ain't tzarech lo lechi v'lo kore. It's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. In other words, the Mavui becomes, once it's sloped into the Rishus HaRabim, it becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. How much of a slope does it need to be sloped into the Rishus HaRabim that becomes bottled to Rishus HaRabim, that you say that this wall is not a wall anymore, it's just a mountain? So Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Omer tell him, Eslaki Asar, B'toch Arba, V'zarech Enoch Al Gabov Chayiv. If it's slopes within four amas to 10 tvachim, then it's considered a separate mechitza. Then it's going to be considered a separate mechitza. So,
and the rule for mud is a separate mechitza would be the same thing as a lot of
It's considered a mechitza, correct. That it will be considered, and that's why it doesn't need a lechem, correct. Once it has a mechitza, then it doesn't need a lechem. What Binyamin called the boomerang Mishnah. If you throw something within four amas, so you threw something within four amas, it landed within four amas, and then it rolled out to four amas. For some reason, the Mishnah says Pater. The Gemara is going to need to explain why that's so. Chutz l'dalet amos, if you throw it outside of dalet amos, v'niskalgo l'toch dalet amos, and it rolled into dalet amos, chayiv, then you're chayiv. So Gemara asks on the Seifa, starts with the Seifa, v'holo nach, why is it that you're going to be chayiv if it landed outside of dalet amos and then rolled back into dalet amos? Who cares about the fact that it landed over there? If it stops within four amas, then it didn't rest outside of four amas. It only rested within four amas. Rabbi Yochanan says, "V'hu shenach al gabi mashu." No, it first landed on something, and then either a kid knocked it away, or we're going to see shortly, wind knocked it away. But it had to have landed somewhere for some period of time. It's not something that you threw and rolled back. That's not going to be something that you're going to be chayiv on. If you threw something outside of Dalet Amos and immediately the wind blows it back, you're going to be potter. But if the ruach grabs it, so then in such a case, then you're going to be chayiv. So it depends on whether it rested at that particular place. If you have something within three tvachim, then needs to rest on something. This Rabbanan, if you remember, we had a machloikis of whether kluta kimisha huncha dami. We saw that if it's passing through a space, let's say zorik rishus hayachim beemtza, so do we consider it as if it stopped in the rishus harabim? So Rabbi Akiva says yes. The Rabbanan say no. When would the Rabbanan say that it's considered as if it landed in the Rishus Rabbim? If you threw the three tefachim within the ground. Because if you put it within three tefachim in the ground, it's considered as if it landed on the ground itself. Yasim Arevar Val Kamal Shmaitz Amalei Rabbina L'Rameimar Lav Hainu Mas Nisim. Isn't this the case of our Mishnah? That our Mishnah said, Chutz La'ar Ba'amis V'Nizgal Gal Chayiv that needs to rest. So you see that it then needs to rest in the Rishus Rabin. You're talking about a case where it rolled. Miskalgel ain't sofa lenuach. Miskalgel, where the ruach was megalgalo ba'avir, it's not considered the same thing. It's not considered sofa lenuach. I might have think as if it's as if it rested. Kamash malon. No, the chiddush is that as long as the ruach is moving it, it's not considered as if it rested.
It can't have come to rest at all. The ruach has to. I mean, right when it got to the ground, the ruach was already moving it. Is that what it's saying?
Right when it got to the ground. Which part of the, which line of the Gemara are you asking?
What we just said.
Yeah. Right. In a case of Rava's case, where the chafetz is in the end going to fall on the ground below, and it's within three tefachim of the ground, since it's going to land on the ground below, it's considered, even though it didn't rest, as if it rested.
That's the case of that one.
Correct, and therefore, that's not considered as if it's nach. The wind is making it as if it didn't. It wasn't nach. Correct. I'm sorry, I didn't understand exactly what you said. Okay, says the next Mishnah: Hazoyrek b'yam arba amas potter. If someone throws in a yam four amas, the halach is that he's potter. Now this is a very important halacha. This is the halacha that a yam is considered a karmelis. That a yam is not considered a rishus bifnei atzmo. It's not considered rishus harabim, and it's not considered a rishus hayachid. We're going to see that the mafarshim are going to need to explain to us why it's neither rishus harabim nor rishus hayachid. There's room to argue that it could be both a rishus hayachid or a rishus harabim. We'll get back to that after we do the Gemara. Im haya rakak mayim, if you have a puddle of water, v'rishus harabim mahaleches bo, and people walk through it, hazarek l'socho dal ram is chayiv, if you throw into it, it's considered as if you threw into rishus harabim. So, even though it's deep, it's still considered a rishus harabim, and it's not like a yam. The yam, people don't walk through, and therefore it's going to be considered a karmelis. But this area, people are walking through. V'kamahu rakak mayim, what's considered a puddle? Pachos me'asarat tfachim, rakak mayim. If it's less than 10 tfachim, u'rishus aram aleches bo, hazarek besocho dal aram is chayiv. And you throw into it, you're going to be chayiv. Now the Mishnah seems to be a little bit repetitious, because we said twice, rakak mayim, u'rishus aram aleches bo. So the Gemara says, "Amalei ahumei rabbanon l'rava bishleima hiluch hiluch trei zimni." It says hiluch twice. It says rishus haram aleches bo, two lines into the Mishnah. Then you're chayiv if you throw inside, and then it said rishus haram aleches bo zarek betocho dal ramis, you're chayiv. So it said hiluch twice. Hakamashon, why did it say it twice? Hiluch alidei atchak shmei hiluch. Because to tell you, it's not only people who always walk through there, but even if it's difficult to walk through there, as long as people do, then that's can be considered hiluch. Tashmish ayideat chak lo shmei tashmish. But the fact that people use it sometimes, that's not going to be enough to be considered part of the rishus haram. So for example, if you have a bar, Rashi says, that people use to hide their things, sometimes, if it's not common, then that's not considered batel to the rishus haram. In contrast, to walking through it sometimes, that's considered batel to the rishus haram. Ella, but what about rakak rakak? When it says rakak, this puddle, shrei zimni lamali. Why do I need that to be mentioned twice? Says the Gemara, chad bimosach chama v'chad bimosach shama. One is for the summertime, and the other is for the wintertime. Utsrichi, and I need both cases. Titan echada, if it would have only said the rakak of the puddle is considered a rishus haram, hava mina hani mili biyomesach chama. That's during the summer. They like to go into the puddles to cool themselves off. Remember, this is before air conditioning and pools and stuff like that. People during the cold winter don't go through it. And if you'd say by the winter, that since during this time people are anyhow dirty, so they don't, the mud doesn't bother them. But during the summer, where it's a lot harder to get cleaned off from mud because there's no rain, lo. So then maybe these people don't consider it something that people walk through it. So that's why we need both cases. Or else, another explanation. Abai says we need for a different reason. I would think maybe we're talking about a rakak that's less than arba amas. In other words, there it's easy for people to walk through. Once it's already 4 amis wide, people would prefer to walk around it, and therefore it's not considered part of the rishus harabim. So kamash malan, even if it's 4 amis wide, still people walking through it happens, even though sometimes people would prefer to walk around it. But nevertheless, since people walk through it, it's considered part of the rishus harabim. Rav Ashi gives us another explanation. Rav Ashi Amar Yitzrich Saka Da Techamina Hani Mili Heicha Da Have Harbo. I would think that it only applies a rakak that's 4 tvachim. Avol Heicha Da Lo Havoi Yarbe Tvachim. But when it's not 4 tvachim wide, Mifsi Posile, I might have the Havani in the opposite direction, that people just simply jump over it. And since people jump over it, it's not part of the Rishus Rabbin, only if they walk through it. And therefore would not be considered part of Rishus Rabbin if it lands inside to be Chayiv, as if it landed in the Rishus HaRabim. Kamash Malan, that's part. Ba'az Rav Ashi the Tameh, Rav Ashi is consistent with his position. Damar Rav Ashi, Hay Man de Zoriz, V'noch Aguda de Gamma. Someone who throws a chayfetz, 4 amis in Rishus HaRabim, and the chayfetz lands on a board in a bridge. Mechayiv, you're chayiv. You're going to be chayiv, it's considered as if it landed on the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. Shaharei Rabin Bokin Bo, despite the fact that people skip that board in the bridge. In other words, people, when they walk on the bridge, they don't walk on all of those boards. They tend to jump over it. Nevertheless, even though most people jump over it, it's considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. So too over here. Even though this puddle, most people jump over, it's still considered, since sometimes people step on it, it's still considered part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. As I mentioned, there's an interesting question about this general halacha about the yam. That the yam, we said, is considered a karmel. Why is it considered karmel? So the Me'iri says that the reason why it's considered karmel is because people generally don't go in the yam. So karmel is defined by something that is neither used as a public thoroughfare nor as a private area. So the Me'iri, it's considered a karmel. The Yireim says the reason why it's considered a karmel is because the water over there makes it inaccessible to people. In other words, the water itself, it causes people not to go there. It's very similar. The Yireim and the Me'iri is very, very similar. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says that even if people go in the water, it's common for people to go in the water. For example, let's say you have in the Venice, right, that the water itself is you have taxi ships that are going back and forth. Nevertheless, since people can't walk there, so that's not called a Rosh Hashanah Rabbi. So it's different than what we saw from the Me'iri and the Yireim. The Me'iri and the Yireim say that's not normal for people to be there. What happens if you created a system where it's normal for people to go there? So, according to Shulchan Aruch HaRav, even if it's an area that's constantly used by Svinos, and it's used just like we would shuttle from on trains, bullet trains or light rails and so on, even in areas where people don't walk, so then in such a case, a yam is not going to be any different. Now there's a ritva, where the ritva asks an interesting question. Why is the yam considered a karmelis? What about the mechitzas? If you measure the mechitzas in many of the yam, it could qualify as dine mechitza, because the in some areas the wall of the sea drops quickly. So then in such a case, it should be considered mechitza. We just discussed in our sugya that if the seabed drops 10 tefachim within 4 amos, so then in such a case it's going to be considered a mechitzas. That's a ritva's kasha. And the ritva answers that you need mechitzas hanikaros. Since you can't see the mechitzas of the sea, so that's why it's going to be considered a karmas. He also quotes from the Ra'ah that this that we say, that a karpik is a large area, that is not considered a Rishus HaRabin because it's surrounded by mechitzos, even though no one uses anything over there. So why is this any different than a karpet? So the Ritva's answer was, it's not mechitzos hanikaros. The karpet across Rehov Mordechai Eliyahu, so over there, you can see the mechitzos, it's just the inside, it's not used for anything. It's a real shaila to carry over there. Whoever makes the Erev has to cheshbon that. So that area over there, there's Mechitza Sani Karos, so that's going to be a carpet. But when it comes to a yam, the Mechitza is not Mikaros. So, but the Ra'ah says that the reason is that the carpet is Ro'ui Ladira. People don't live there. But when it comes to the Mechitzas of the yam, it's not Ro'ui Ladira because of the water. Because of the water, those Mechitzas are not Ro'ui Ladira. So this explanation of the Ra'ah that says that it's about that people can't live there, so that's very similar to what we saw from the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that it's not easy for people to walk there, then by definition, that's going to be considered karmelis. Finally, there are those who say that there's another reason why it's not considered Rosh HaYachid, because the mechitzas are just too far away from each other. You have mechitzas from one side of the Atlantic Ocean to the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, And you're going to say, that's going to make you mechitzas, that's too far. In other words, there is a point where the shus hayachid becomes pasha too large, because the mechitzas are just too far away from each other. So then that's why it can't be a rishus hayachid. It can't be a rishus hayachid because the mechitzas are too far from each other. It reaches a certain point where the mechitzas become too large. Fascinating, different set of explanations of why a yam is considered a karmos.